You people have been chosen to reveal our existence to the world. You will witness what happens here today, and you will tell of it later. All eyes to the front.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man.
You are listening to the Geeks for the Win podcast.
And welcome to episode 3 of Geeks for the Win, the podcast where we basically just geek out over anything and everything that's considered geeky. We are recording today on Sunday, March 21st at 3 o'clock Central Standard. My name is William, a.k.a. Poetic Soul 44. And I'm joined today with only one of my fellow co-hosts.
Hello, Stuart, known across the internet, Cash of Terror.
And a guest you might recognize, Patriot 1030.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot for having me back, guys. Matt, a.k.a. Patriot 1030 from the Open Forum radio show.
We are, you know, upset to say Mark cannot make it because of family issues. I mean, he was gracious, you know, to stick in for most of the 4-hour podcast for Doctor Who that we did earlier this morning that will be released after this because of, you know, I'm going to be away at PAC. So we just wanted to make sure, you know, our listeners have an episode, you know, for the week. We don't want to, you know, say, oh, episode 4 is not going to be this week. I mean, we just wanted to keep our listeners, so we roughed it out for y'all. Okay, so right now, I guess we can go into free talk. I wanted to start off with just asking y'all what y'all think about the rumors of Chris Evans. You know, he was the Human Torch from Fantastic Four. He's supposedly going to, he's rumored to be Captain America.
This is the first I've heard of it. Yeah, I saw the link here like, right before in the show notes, and I don't think that's a good thing. Because having him playing two different Marvel characters, it's going to get a bit confusing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no. You go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I was really kind of surprised to hear that Chris Evans would take that role. From what I wasn't a big Fantastic Four fan, not much of the movies or the comics, but he seems very, you know, brash and very young to almost kind of take on that kind of mature of a role. I know that I saw a Yahoo article maybe about 2 weeks ago that was, you know, naming some people like John Krasinski from The Office and also a young kid from Friday Night Lights, the TV show. I saw his picture, and being a big Captain America fan, I haven't seen much of his acting, but after seeing his picture, I could kind of see that face being, you know, being the face of Cap for the silver screen. So I was fine with that, but I don't want like someone to kind of, I guess they have to tread lightly with me as far as, you know, picking an actor. So.
Yeah. And I just looked on IMDb and it was a rumor like yesterday and now it's not. I mean, they had like 4 different people where it said, you know, Steve Rogers / Captain America rumored, but now it's just Chris Evans is Steve Rogers, Captain America. So it's official, I guess.
Wow.
Huh. Yeah. I just, personally, I'm with Stuart. I don't see how you could, you know, be in the 2 characters in the same universe.
Right. I mean, I'm kind of, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
Well, I mean, I guess I don't know, it is kind of in the same vein with DC picking up Ryan Reynolds to play Green Lantern, and you know, having kind of really dove into Green Lantern over the past week, you know, I really don't, I'd rather see, you know, new talent, you know, as opposed to recycled talent from, you know, from the Blade series and then onto, you know, X-Men Wolverine's origins, you know, with Deadpool and now taking on Green Lantern. I mean, it's kind of almost like it's really almost oversaturation.
Well, I mean, the difference between that is Green Lantern and Deadpool are in two different universes.
Right.
Versus being in two characters in the Marvel universe.
Right. Yeah, but the problem with Ryan Reynolds playing Hal Jordan is Hal Jordan is not really a witty kind of guy. He's not, you know, he's not really that funny.
No, he can be defiant, but he's not like, you know, he has a little bit of an attitude, but he's not, you know, a frat boy, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's been movies where Ryan Reynolds hasn't really been too funny. I mean, like, what was it, Smoking Aces, he wasn't really that funny in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he did a good job with, I mean, I really enjoyed that movie and his performance. I mean, if he's really going to take that role seriously, then, you know, he'll, you know, learn the character and portray the character like he should be, hopefully. But other than that, I mean, do y'all have anything else you want to just, you know, talk about? Anything that's happened this week? I mean, been playing anything, watched anything?
I've been just really spending my whole week, you know, getting ready for the Doctor Who episode that we just recorded.
Hmm.
So I
know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know you, Patriot, had a season finale of a show you were really excited for?
Yeah, Archer on FX wrapped up its season. I think it ran about maybe 8 or 9 episodes, I think. But it wrapped up, and I think it wrapped up on a really high note. I thought the ending was really funny, and luckily it's been renewed for another season. So I'm very happy to see happy about that. And then also Justified came out, started this past week. And I really enjoy that kind of, you know, kind of like a modern day quick draw cowboy, you know, mentality as, you know, as a character. And then also, you know, fighting some, you know, well, in this case, they were just a bunch of, you know, neo-Nazi white supremacist idiots. So I think it's going to make for a good series.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people talking about Justified on Twitter, and I never heard of it. What is it?
Well, this Timothy Oliphant's the star of it, and his character is a U.S. Marshal, and he's a quick draw. You know, he's kind of more like the shoot first, ask questions later mentality, but he'll always, you know, he'll always wait till the last minute so that his kill is justified. You know, he won't shoot unless he's completely and absolutely provoked. But he'll do it fast. and he kind of gets reassigned from his duty in Miami, or from Florida to Kentucky, where he was born and raised. And so he's kind of, you know, dealing with coming back to his hometown and dealing with a lot of people and how things have changed and, you know, what people have become. So, yeah, that's kind of where that's kind of where the show left off.
Well, I'll have to check that out then.
When did that premiere again?
This past Tuesday, so what was that? As I pull up my calendar here, it premiered the 16th. So got to work 3 day for a lot of people.
Yeah. I missed the premiere for some reason. I'm not sure what was going on that day, but I definitely was looking forward to that show. I didn't realize it was about to start so soon, you know?
Yeah.
Until I saw on Twitter, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure that they'll play. I mean, they kind of have dedicated Tuesday night to become like that. It seems like now it's Timothy Oliphant night. Like last week it was Live Free, Die Hard, and then followed by the Justified premiere. And now this week it's the Hitman premiere with, you know, followed by Justified. And I'm sure that they'll either replay that episode or, you know, the new episode right after it. It seems they kind of, FX seems to do a lot of that. In case you missed it the first time, here's the next hour and we'll show it to you again.
Yeah, I mean, so. FX just has amazing shows.
Oh, yeah, their quality is really...
I mean, yeah.
It's blown the networks out of the water as far as, you know, as far as on a consistent basis.
And they don't get the recognition. I mean, like, the Sons of Anarchy is one of my favorite shows, and it's a really good show, and I don't hear anyone talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I know my fellow co-host Vic Joe, he's a huge fan of Sons of Anarchy. You know, their comedies have been pretty good too. I know that they have, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is one of their, you know, one of their heavy followed comedies. I've heard some good things. My brother actually was just recommending it to me, so I want to go out and check it out. But I know they have a – I think they have another one coming out. I think it's – I forget the name of it, but it's like about just this one guy, and it seems kind of like, you know, plucky, sarcastic comedy. So
yeah, I mean, and it's not – I'm not a big fan of it, but Nip Tuck, I mean, that's been a big show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of had a cult following, it seems like.
Yeah, I've always tried to catch it because I kind of like the characters and the idea of it, but never seemed to really, you know, it never seemed to always catch it on time.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, some of the you know, actors I'm interested in who are on there, but just mm-hmm. never get a chance to catch it. Some of these shows need to come to Netflix and watch. Seriously.
One of theirs that did is Rescue Me. And I was really high on that when it first started out, kind of, I think back in maybe, oh boy, maybe 03 or 04. And it, I really like that show. I've kind of missed the last couple seasons, but I know they're now on Netflix, instant watch. So,
oh, Mark,
catch up on that.
Mark's now, sorry he wasn't here.
Mark's been trying to get us to watch that like crazy.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I'll second Mark then and highly recommend it to you guys.
I'm going to give it a shot, but, I mean, Stewart has a problem with it, I guess.
I don't like Dennis Leary. I don't like anything he's in. So,
That's a shame.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, basically, you know, the I haven't really done anything this week, but record a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, you've been on a craze.
I mean, I was, you know, last Saturday, the Saturday before yesterday, I was, you know, on the 40cast, and then, you know, that Sunday I was on Geeks for the Win, then Monday I was on Open Forum Radio, and then Tuesday I was on Scarfinger, or the Scarcasm, then then Friday is 40cast again, and now 2 Geeks for the Win today. Been missing my gaming and TV shows.
Yeah, I understand that.
But I'm spreading the word of Geeks for the Win, so.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And we appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
Okay, I guess with that, since no one has anything else, does anyone have anything else?
Well, I guess I could comment more because I guess, yeah, I'll mention it on our next episode of Open Forum Radio, but I think it'll get a lot more appreciation on here. I dove into the Green Lantern a lot. You know, I watched First Flight, and then I picked up 2 of the trade paperbacks. One is Secret Origin, and then Green Lantern Rebirth. And there's one thing that seems to stay the same throughout all of them. I mean, well, it's all Hal Jordan, and it's all kind of retelling his story and how he became the Green Lantern and kind of getting caught up to speed as far as, like, the new volume and the new writers who took over. And he's a really interesting character. I really like that. But I don't know if it's just something with DC and how they write and how, you know, they portray their universe. But this guy was in the Air Force, and then all of a sudden he becomes, basically an intergalactic policeman. Yeah, and no one seems to miss him, and no one seems to care that he's gone. And I find that very odd because, you know, for me, it would seem like if it was in the Marvel Universe, you know, the government, you know, they would say, hey, we want this technology. Bring us up to speed. You know, there would always be some sort of, you know, military subplot that was going on. They, you know, looking to advance further as opposed to, oh, yeah, he's just gone. We don't seem to notice. We don't really care. That's just one disconnect that I think, I don't know, I just seem to have with it. I mean, it's an enjoyable series, but it almost takes me out of reality when I see that.
Yeah, I think in the movie, the animated movie, he was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be gone for a week.
Yeah.
Like, don't ask me what. I'm just going to be gone for a week. You don't need me, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but I couldn't walk away for a week from my job and not have people ask questions. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess that's kind of why I like Marvel a bit more, because it's a bit more, it's got a bit more of the human touch to it. It's a bit more believable.
Exactly.
Than the DC.
Right. I mean, like, I don't know, maybe just humanity is so, you know, they know that we have, you know, that the Flash is out there, that Superman and Batman are out there, and they're kind of like, oh, we've had our fill of aliens, and that's it. I'm not dealing with it anymore.
Yeah, well, gonna,
go ahead.
Oh, I'm just, I just wanted to, you know, touch on what Stewart said. I mean, yeah, the Marvel characters, they have more, they have flaws. They have, you know, they seem to have flaws. Like, you know, Tony Stark, Iron Man, he was an alcoholic. I mean, Peter Parker, he's got all the people around him. Basically, I mean, Aunt May, he's always got to save, and Mary Jane. I mean, it just seems like they just have, you know, human flaws, so you can relate to them more than, like,
yeah, other than
Batman or Superman or Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
So what were you going to say, Patriot?
Oh, I guess I really didn't have anything else from that. Just kind of saying, you know, well, it's just odd to not see, you know, people care, you know, about, you know, Hal Jordan as the person, and, you know, just kind of, you know, everyone's very, oh, we just have our own problems to deal with, and we don't really care about anybody else. It just seems very, I don't know, I guess it's a different way of approaching a comic, I guess, you know, being more of the Marvel reader that I have been. But something that I guess, having played Mass Effect, then watching, you know, First Flight, and then reading the comics, it seemed like a really good, relatable, you know, kind of co-story, or, you know, frame of point of reference for me to go into the Green Lantern universe, because, you know, they deal with all these, you know, a universe full of races, you know, and an intergalactic, you know, community, as opposed to just, you know, hey, all of our, like in Marvel, it's like, oh, all of our problems are here on Earth, and we don't have, you know, big intergalactic issues to deal with or anything.
There was the Skrill and the, I forget what two they fought, but there was a couple of alien races that fought on Earth.
Right.
In the Marvel universe.
Yeah, you're right. I have unfortunately avoided those. You know, those reads. Because it's kind of like, okay, now you're getting kind of, you know, I'm not going to say stupid, but you're losing me when you start bringing in aliens.
Yeah, because, you know, the Human Torch's wife is a Skrill.
Hmm. Did not know that.
Neither did I.
Yeah, I mean, don't follow Fantastic Four much. That's why I kind of enjoyed the movies. But, yeah, I mean, the Green Lantern, I don't know him too much, but, I mean, just from what I've seen on, you know, Justice League or, you know, that movie also. But I kind of like the Green Lantern, I mean, because he is a human, and his power is only from the ring. And the ring does run out of juice, so he has to go and recharge it, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, that's kind of, you know, that could be a weakness. I mean, that's a weakness right there. I mean, so, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah,
it's Superman and Wonder Woman, and, I mean, just, I just can't relate to them, because they're like gods, you know?
Right. I mean, I'm not, it's not a sexist thing why I don't like Wonder Woman, but as soon as I saw, again, on Justice League New Frontier, Invisible Plane, I'm out. I'm sorry. No.
Oh yeah.
So
what was it? It was,
well, it was the newer one. Though.
Yeah, it was
the Crisis on Two
Crisis
Earths.
Crisis on Two Earths.
Where she stole the plane, you know, and from the alternate, you know, Earth.
And it had a chameleon's circuit, and it got blown, so it was stuck invisible, and she just had kind of a smirk on her face.
Oh God.
Yeah, that was a pretty bad.
It was a funny joke, but still.
Yeah, but I mean, going on, you know, continuing. Stuart, I know you recently saw the Hulk versus series, right?
Yeah, last weekend. So it's not quite that recently. But yes, I did see them.
You wanted? Do you want to touch on them? I mean.
Yeah. You know. Hulk versus Thor. I really liked it, actually. You know, the Hulk just beat the tar out of Thor, and I forget if he picked up his hammer or not, or he tried to. And
yeah,
just,
I think he tried to.
I mean, but he can pick it up. I mean, that's one of the things, he can pick it up, but it just takes a bit.
I think he picked it up on the Ultimate Avengers.
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, it was.
He picked it up and threw it at Thor and hit him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I know more about the Norse mythology than I do, you know, the comic Thor. So I really did kind of like to see, like, seeing Loki and Odin, even though he was asleep through all of it.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it was all right. It seemed a bit long, though.
It was a bit long. I'll give that.
I mean, and especially compared to the Hulk versus Wolverine. I mean, I think that they should have switched the times out on that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would have rather seen Hulk versus Wolverine, you know, more of that.
Yeah. I did also see Hulk versus Wolverine, and it confirmed that my favorite X-Men, one of my favorite X-Men characters, is Deadpool.
Exactly. that portrayal right there got me excited for Ryan Reynolds being Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool is, he's funny, but he's deadly at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I like the part where he's like, you know, I can't remember what he says, but he basically shoots Wolverine, like, point blank right in the face.
He said, like, it was the line, like, it took us a lot to get you here, and Deadpool says, yeah, a lot of pointy things. Something along those lines.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't, like I said before, I haven't seen, you know, Wolverine Origins, so I don't know, you know, how Ryan Reynolds did Deadpool.
Well, when he became Deadpool, he didn't really talk, or he didn't talk at all. But beforehand, really? Like before he became Deadpool, you know, he had the mouth. He had the Merc with the mouth.
Well, that should be an interesting movie, I would think. So yeah, I'm guessing you haven't seen the Hulk versus Matt?
No, I haven't. I'm not much of a Hulk fan, and
we aren't either.
So, yeah. I mean, I guess I was kind of like, I really don't want to see it. To me, I felt more like unfortunately, a waste of my time as opposed to, you know, not to say that they didn't put the effort in, but I don't think I would appreciate it much.
I just wanted to see Hulk versus Wolverine. That just sounded interesting, to be honest.
Oh, understandably.
I mean, two of the, you know, toughest badass characters out there. I mean,
yeah,
the angriest too.
True.
Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot I saw this, but I also saw the Doctor Strange movie.
Really? You want to talk about that?
Out of all like the Marvel movies we've been watching lately, this is the best one I've seen. The Doctor Strange movie is amazing. It's
really?
Yes. Like I know next to little about Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know, like, I don't, like, beforehand, I didn't know what his power was. I didn't even know what he looked like. I just knew the name, Doctor Strange. And it is a fantastic movie.
Well, you want to go in more detail? I mean, for, you know, sell the movie to me and Pete, me and Matt, since we haven't seen it. Make us want to watch it.
Basically, Doctor Strange learns to, like, he's actually a doctor. And his last name is Strange, so Doctor Strange. But he's like a brain surgeon, and he's like House, basically. He is exactly like House. Like he doesn't care, you know. He could care very little about anything else. He's only in it for the glory, really. And he gets in a car accident, and his hands are basically destroyed. Like he can't use the scalpel anymore. So like he tries basically everything and uses all of his money. He basically becomes homeless, you know, using everything he has. In a last-ditch effort, he goes to this temple in Thailand, and he learns, you know, basically, you know, you can anything you believe, it'll happen. You know, you can create weapons out of midair, you know, create walls, basically do anything you believe, it can happen. As long as, you know, you believe it will. And that's basically how his power works.
Interesting.
So he's like a psychic?
He's a sorcerer.
Okay, sorcerer. Okay.
So he could beat Superman.
Yes.
I like him already. No. So do you think Doctor Strange would make a good, you know, live-action movie, Stuart?
Yes, I do believe. Like, he is actually probably one of the most powerful Marvel characters I've seen.
Interesting. And if you had to pick an actor, who would you pick to play Doctor Strange?
That's a very good question. I can't think of anyone.
Alrighty. I know.
Not off the top of my head. I cannot think of anybody.
I mean, just the, you know, the him alone, he kind of looks like Robert Downey Jr. almost. I mean, just the cover. I always thought. I'm not saying I wouldn't have him, you know, I wouldn't have him play, you know, Doctor. No, because he's already Iron Man. But
yeah, we don't need another person playing two.
Geeks for the Win does not support multi acting in the
same universe.
Yeah.
Unless it's Doctor Who.
No, yeah, of course. But that's another episode.
Yeah.
Another two parter. It's gonna probably be, but anyways. Okay, I guess we can get into the, you know, the one of the main topics, which is X-Men, the Marvel series. You know, I mean, I this is one of the series I watched, you know, growing up along with Spider-Man, and I also used to read the comics too. I mean, not, you know, religiously, because I was a kid, so, you know, I would get a comic every now and then, but this series, I mean, this, you know, the X-Men just have some amazing characters. I mean, good guys and villains. I mean, and they do it so well because, I mean, they introduce, you know, there are mutants out there, basically. And, you know, it's just something that happens. It's just something in the genetic code. So there's, you know, they can add characters without, you know, having to go into long origin stories, which I've always liked. I mean, I've always thought this was a big positive. I mean, what do y'all think about that?
Yeah. We're going to talk about this a bit later, but yeah, Stanley said, you know, he just kind of ran out of ideas of how to, you know, of the origin story and just said, eh, whatever, you know, they're, you know, mutant plants, you know, mutant frogs. Let's just have mutant humans with superpowers. And, you know, it's an easy way. It's an easy out for him, and it can create a lot of basically characters through that.
You know, what about you, Matt?
Well, yeah, it's a good device to have, you know, and it's a very easy thing and not have, you know, anyone ask a lot of questions, and it also keeps things believable. You know, and you can have that, you know, that nice character develop, you know, that nice character addition or subtraction. And I guess it is good for Marvel to have that freedom in having, you know, mutants along with the Marvel universe.
Okay, so I guess we can, start with probably our favorite characters. Stuart, do you want to go first?
One of my favorite characters was Iceman. Really? Because, you know, when I was little, you know, and I, you know, go around pretending, you know, have superpowers and stuff like that, my superpower was always ice. I don't know why, but I've always liked ice, the ice power. And then I discovered Iceman. I'm like, oh, he's my new favorite guy. Before that, it was Gambit, because Gambit was just this smooth-talking guy from the South. You know, and I always liked his, I'm drawing a blank.
Power of basically combustion. Touching something and making it, you know.
No, like the way he talks.
Oh,
a Cajun accent.
Cajun, that's, yeah. Think of it.
I mean, Cajun. That was his nickname, yes. Throughout the series. They would always call him Cajun.
Yes, and I really like, you know, the power of ice. So that's why Iceman is one of my favorite X-Men heroes.
Alrighty. Cool. Matt, you want to go next?
Sure. I guess it's a very easy one. I always liked Wolverine. You know, just kind of being that outlaw and being, you know, that kind of independent, you know, person that's not going to conform to exactly what – he'll also make the hard decision, you know, as opposed to, you know, being more diplomatic or being more, you know, politically correct or whatever you want to call it. You know, he's not going to follow, you know, Professor Xavier's rules or – you know, he's not going to fall in line with Cyclops. So, you know, I kind of like that, you know, outlaw mentality that he had, you know, and just, you know, being crazy and, you know, having some kick-ass claws and, you know, just going nuts every once in a while was, you know, always pretty sweet.
which getting into that for, people who don't really know too much about X-Men, they would think, you know, the claws were his power, but that's not the case.
Right, and that's kind of what I had thought for the longest time. Like, I really didn't know. I mean, I didn't know that his was healing until when they started explaining how he got the, you know, adamantium skeleton in the fact that it was him being able to heal, just a self-regenerative ability, so that he could undergo, a procedure like that to become, to get the metal claws and to get that, that super skeleton.
Yeah, and so. What's really cool is, Magneto is a pretty old villain, and Wolverine has been, they even made a reference where he was, Magneto was, he was a kid during, the Holocaust, and they showed Wolverine, basically, like, I think he saved Magneto, and Wolverine was born in the 1800s, actually, late 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
It's just his, ability to heal has kept him, alive a lot longer. So he's over 100 years old. He's still kicking some major ass.
Yeah, like I didn't know, his power was actually healing until the X-Men movie came out.
Really? Because they explored on that in the TV series.
Yeah, but I didn't watch the TV series as much as I did the Spider-Man. Like, I just watched it for the action. I didn't really get into the story back then.
Yeah, that's understandable. But, I just wanted to clear that up because I know I thought, at the beginning his powers were, with the claws. And it seems like, I wasn't alone.
No, you weren't.
But, yeah, I was just looking up, on Wikipedia, and I saw he was born in the 1800s. And that was kind of shocking to me. Because I knew he was older, I knew he was old enough to, be in basically an adult in World War, II, but I didn't think he was 1800s, old.
Yeah, since you haven't seen Wolverine Origins, it was, it was plainly obvious in that.
Yeah, most everyone told me don't see Wolverine Origins, though. That's the only reason why I'm not. If someone was like, "Oh, you should see it. It's not that bad," I would be like, "Okay."
Okay. The only problem I really had with Wolverine Origins was the ending. That was it. Everything else, I was perfectly okay with. But just the ending was just absolutely dumb. Of how he forgets was completely stupid.
How did they do it? Like in the movie?
Whatever that metal is.
Adamantium.
Adamantium, yes. An adamantium bullet shot in the head, and it gave him amnesia.
Oh, wow.
That's horrible.
Because, he had already met, he already met Scott, when he was in high school, and he met a lot of the X-Men already, or a couple of them.
Really?
Yeah.
That's bad. Wow.
But everything else is fine.
Thank you for confirming I'm not going to watch that now.
I think I might have to remove it from my Netflix queue now.
Yeah. That, like, rips apart the, what the X-Men is. But, yeah, I think everyone really, would consider Wolverine one of their favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was kind of, they toted him basically as, the main, the kind of the mascot of the X-Men. For, they would always push, merchandise, Wolverine this, Wolverine that, in video games it would always be, Wolverine would have the coolest, would be the strongest and toughest. I mean, I think Wolverine was just, everyone's favorite.
Yeah, Marvel has definitely played favorites with Wolverine.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so didn't you have another one, Matt?
Oh, yeah, after, I guess, kind of seeing playing some of the Ultimate Alliance games and also, seeing the other movies, I wished Colossus had a bigger role in it. Kind of just being, really strong, guy that can, make his body, steel. That to me is that's kind of cool to kind of just be that kind of strong and powerful of a character. But unfortunately, the Fox series, or the Fox movies, I should say, they didn't really explore that too much.
Now in the 90s animated series they did explore that actually.
They did. Okay.
Yeah, I mean they did really good job with that series, exploring a lot of characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean they had Colossus, they had like his own like episode, and they had him on for other episodes as well. But my favorite besides Wolverine would probably be Rogue. because I always thought it was cool because she could touch a mutant and she could basically get their power temporarily. So she could end up having like any power she wanted if she could touch them. I always thought that was interesting, but you know, the downfall is she can't really have close, you know, contact with anyone, you know, on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, could she? I know in the series she could fly, but
yes,
in the movie she never did.
I don't think so. No.
No.
Well, she in the,
probably could have if she really wanted to.
No, in the animated series, which I think this was probably in the comics. I could be wrong though, but she okay. Her mother, or you know, the one who raised her was Mystique. I mean, so. I mean, she basically, you know, made, you know, Rogue do some evil stuff, and she ended up getting Rogue to tricking Rogue into touching this, like, you know, superhero chick, you know,
mm-hmm.
And she touched her, you know, basically she held on so long to where the I can't remember her name, like Supergirl or something, not Supergirl, but something, you know, something kind of cheesy like that, but and basically. She ended up getting her super strength and her flying ability while the superhero was in a coma, basically. Mm. But and her personality was actually inside Rogue, or her mind, I guess, was inside Rogue too. They touched on that where, you know, she was taking over Rogue's body. So that's how she was able to fly and have super strength.
Okay, now that makes a little bit more, that makes more sense.
I mean, and so. I always thought that was a pretty cool power, you know, to get whatever you wanted. But you know, now as a you know, adult, be able to think about it, that's sad, you know, not being able to have close human contact with someone you care about. I mean, especially in the animated series, her and Gambit were pretty close.
Well, yeah, that was another reason why I liked Gambit was because of he was always hitting on Rogue.
Yeah. And I mean, I just, as I remember, the movie didn't do him justice at all.
Well, the ones that you saw, he wasn't in it.
He was in one, wasn't he? It was just a short little thing.
He was like in Wolverine Origins.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was in like the second or third or something.
No, huh. He played a kind of important role in Wolverine Origins. And there was a big fight between Wolverine and Gambit.
I'm probably thinking of probably one of the other animated series they've come out with, maybe. I don't know. But I know he was portrayed as like a bad guy once in one of the newer animated series, which was kind of bad, but...
Well, he became like the third incarnation of the Angel of Death, I think it was.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Is that like newer, you know, newer, is that a newer animated show or comics?
That was comics. You know, I read it on his Wikipedia page.
Last I read X-Men comics were in the 90s, so he wasn't, you know, the Angel of Death then. But, I mean, talking about some other, you know, character, you know, other good characters, I mean, I'm surprised no one picked Cyclops.
I
remember growing up, my brother loved Cyclops.
I almost did. You know, I spent Gambit and Cyclops. I loved them.
Yeah, I always thought that was, you know, that was interesting how he could, you know, just like optical, you know, lasers through his eyes and all that. But, you know, sunglasses would, you know, stop that.
I did kind of question that on how, you know, how can sunglasses stop that? It's always been kind of okay.
Yeah, I mean, really and truly, I didn't like Cyclops much just because of the whole, you know, him and Jean Grey, mainly because Wolverine was always, you know, wanting Jean Grey, you know, and, you know, Wolverine was the man, but, you know. You wanted Wolverine to get the girl, but he never did. They just kept him as the loner, you know, barely part of the team. another one of my favorites I would say would be Nightcrawler. It's basically the ability to teleport.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was always pretty cool.
He wasn't in the animated series very much.
He was in it. I mean,
yeah, he was in it, but not very much.
Yeah, not too much, but I mean, they showed him, you know, he was a religious man and basically raised with monks and they touched a story and showed that Mystique was his, you know, mother, his actual mother. Not, but you could kind of tell, you know, blue skin.
Yeah.
But that wasn't too hard to figure out, but... But yeah, I just want to say Gambit, we talked about Gambit a lot. That was, Mark picked Gambit for his, as well as Iceman.
Yeah, his Angel of Death costume is the alternate costume in Mua 2.
When we get done, you know, with characters, we need to talk about, you know, those games, because I haven't played them, and I'd like to know what y'all think. But I guess if we don't have any more, you know, favored, you know, good guy characters, we can go into villains. I know my favorite villain was Apocalypse. I just thought that was an interesting villain. I mean, he seemed like he couldn't die, you know? He seemed like he was immortal. And for the longest time, he thought he was.
Yeah, somebody else picked Apocalypse, too, like on Twitter, when we asked.
Yeah, I think...
Forgetful,
yeah. But yeah, I mean, it seemed like the whole team had
to fight
Apocalypse. And they would, like, barely win. And I don't know, he just seemed really cool in his, you know, like, the suit he was wearing and all that. And, I mean, it's, in the animated series, he was a big part of that. I mean, they had, like, alternate, you know, they had people come back in time. I think they had Cable come back in time to try to stop Apocalypse. And Apocalypse ended up having Magneto and Mr. Sinister and Mystique work for him. To basically, you know, stop time altogether so he could, basically become God and start his own creations, which was very interesting. I didn't remember that, you know, watching that part in the 90s, but watching it now, it was really good. So, I mean, what about you, Matt? What's your favorite X-Men villain?
Well, I guess not knowing the universe all that well, but I'm going to still have to go with Magneto. You know, I always liked the dichotomy between Professor X and Magneto, especially in the movies. The actor's name escapes me for the moment, but I guess that impression in watching them, you know, act on the camera was really something. It made his character much more it added a lot of depth to his character, and I really did enjoy learning more about him that way.
The actor was Ian McKellen.
Yeah. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah. IMDb for the win.
Scar figure also said Magneto.
Yeah, I mean, Magneto was an interesting villain. I mean, especially when, like, when he would go up again, when Wolverine would try to fight him, wouldn't work because, you know, Wolverine's, you know, metal skeleton, basically.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was genius whenever they did catch him, you know, they would put him in like a plastic prison, or, you know, they would make, the sentinels, they would make plastic sentinels to go after Magneto.
Yeah.
Not sure how that would actually work, you know, a plastic robot, you know, that could shoot missiles and lasers and stuff, but, I mean, at the time, it was, you know, when you're a kid, you don't really question stuff like that too much. But yeah, I think, you know, he was, you know, the thing about him is he grew up in, you know, the Holocaust. So he had already dealt with, you know, his people, you know, getting cast out and treated, you know, horribly. So, I mean, he didn't want to see that happen with mutants. So, I mean, that's the big thing with him. In his eyes, he wasn't a bad guy. He was just trying to, you know.
Right.
He was trying to make life better for mutant kind, you know, and it was pretty interesting because I remember in the animated series, he actually, you know, tried to, he got this asteroid, this giant asteroid, and was trying to move all the mutants to it, you know, to basically so they could live, you know, away from the humans, and that didn't go too well, of course. Us humans, of course, we get paranoid when, you know, but yeah, I always thought, you know, that was interesting how he was a bad guy, but he didn't think he was. And most, you know, most villains think, you know, they know they're evil. What about you, Stuart?
My favorite villain would have to be the Juggernaut, because he's just an unstoppable force. You know, once he gets moving, there's no stopping him. Nothing can stop him.
Except for, you know, mind attacks.
Only when his helmet's off. Yeah, and also there was a, when I was in high school, like early years of high school, you know, that, there's these guys that were just doing voiceovers over the 90s show when, you know, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
Yeah.
And then it made its way into X-Men 3, and, you know, we just went fanboy, you know, for that.
Oh, that was awesome. I love that part, but, yeah, I mean, and, you know, the Juggernaut, he was, you know, he was stepbrother to Xavier.
Yeah.
I mean, they really play that in the animated series. I mean, they touched on his past, you know, the Juggernaut's father was just, you know, using Xavier's mom for her money, basically. And basically, you know, he casted, you know, the Juggernaut out and sent him away to boarding school and because he kept on picking on Xavier. And that's probably one of the big reasons why Juggernaut, you know, dislikes Xavier as much as he does. I don't think they didn't really touch on, you know, that much on the movie, I don't think, if I remember correctly.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, which I mean, they had so many characters, so they couldn't really, you know, touch on a lot of stuff in just, you know, three movies. Oh, another villain I liked was Mystique. I mean, just being able to change, you know, into anyone else, you know, being able to look like, you know, look like Wolverine or look like Cyclops and just blend in. I thought that would come in handy a lot.
Yeah, villain in disguise. That was, you know, it was a good villain. Yeah, she's good.
One of the scariest powers, you know, for a villain to have.
Especially, you know, like in the movies, you know, she becomes a senator. You know, Senator Kelly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that's a big scare there.
Exactly, and I mean it. Just, it's a good thing, you know, Mystique wasn't always the brightest.
Yeah.
I mean, if she had, like, the mind of, you know, like, Magneto, then shit could be scary, you know, things could be very interesting there. But she always seemed to mess up, so. Well, I mean, I guess.
Well,
oh, go ahead.
I was going to say one of the other villains that the people on Twitter, one person on Twitter said was Strife, which I, you know, I'm... Strife was a clone of Cable, and I don't know much about Strife at all. Do you guys know about Strife?
No.
Yeah, he's a clone of Cable, and
yeah, I honestly don't know much about him either.
Yeah, he's just an evil Cable, really.
Huh.
Which I also just really found out that Cable is the son of Cyclops and a clone of Jean Grey, Madeline Pryor.
Oh, a clone. Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, I for the longest time, I thought he was just Jean Grey and, you know, Cyclops, you know, their kid, but I didn't know it was a clone. Huh. And that makes it a little more interesting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they explored on Cable a lot in the animated series. Like I said, he would go back in time and fight and basically help, you know, stop the Apocalypse.
Yes.
I mean, they showed him a few times before that as well, but, I mean, but yeah, okay. I guess we can, you know, talk about, I mean, the movies. I mean, what did y'all think of the movies?
I liked them. Well, the first two.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. Yeah, I really enjoyed watching the first one, and it got me excited for the second, and then the second did a really great job, I thought. But then, man, the third just kind of stumbled out of the gate and never, ever got going.
Yeah, I mean, the movies were enjoyable. I mean, as you know, knowing a lot of the stories, you know, of X-Men, you know, the characters, I kind of, you know, had to grit my teeth, you know, and just, you know, just stick with it, you know, because it didn't really follow a lot of the stories, but it was one of the better, you know, comic book movies. I mean, it's a lot better than most.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the first Hulk movie they did.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad. I mean, the Fantastic Four, a lot of people say those were horrible, but I enjoyed them just because probably because I didn't know too much about, you know, the Fantastic Four's backstory. But, yeah, I mean, and you could just go on and on with comic book movies, you know.
Did you see Ghost Rider?
That was bad.
Yeah.
Man, I was hyped for that. I was like, oh, man, you know, Nicolas Cage is awesome. He's going to do awesome in this movie. not so much.
Well, it wasn't that he was bad. It was just that the story was bad.
Yeah. And what about the Punisher? I mean,
I keep falling asleep every time I try to watch it. So,
I mean, John Travolta was just horrible in that movie as a villain.
Yeah, I never saw it. I had very little interest in anything Punisher.
I watched it. I think I watched it because I remember the Punisher cameoing on Spider-Man a few times.
Yeah.
I mean, that was about, you know, my Punisher knowledge.
Yeah, same
here. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of people say these are visible besides, you know, I guess the newer Hulk and Iron Man. These, you know, the X-Men were the best out of the Marvel Universe, I guess. I mean, besides Blade, of course, I would probably put Blade above them.
Yeah, but, you know, not a lot of people realize that Blade is Marvel.
I know.
Like, it wasn't until recently when I figured that out. Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, referring back to Spider-Man again, he was on Spider-Man, so.
Yeah, but, you know, even when he was on Spider-Man, I'm like, you know, is this just a dumb movie tie-in, really? Like, it doesn't make sense? Like, because I didn't understand it then. But now I realize, you know, no, he's actually in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, and I mean, tangenting on that, I've always wanted to, you know, like, pick up some, you know, start the Blade series. I always thought that'd be interesting, just because the movies are really good. I mean, those are probably some of the best vampire movies there are, in my opinion. Not, I mean, comic book or not, you know, comic book movie or not, but I guess we can talk about the, you know, the Marvel games, the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games. Have you two played them?
I've only played two. I've only played the Marvel Ultimate 2.
You have to go back and play the first one. It is a far superior game. You get different costumes. You have so many more powers. There's a lot more customization that you get to do with characters as you level up, and the game is a lot more fun to play, I thought. You know, I had high expectations for the second one. But I think having it change development studios and, you know, not getting, I guess, all the TLC that it really could have had hurt the game a lot. It's a less superior game. It's very mediocre.
Well, what was the story of the first one?
The first one was, let's see, it was Dr. Doom wants to take over the world type thing. And, you know, I thought they did a really great job in tying in a lot of different enemies and a lot of different characters from the Marvel Universe. You know, they weren't afraid to go to, you know, they went to Asgard. They weren't afraid to bring in Doctor Strange. You know, they ran the gambit as far as I'm concerned, you know, as far as characters are concerned, and they made sure that everyone got touched on.
Hmm. But yeah, I'm thinking about picking, you know, both them up. I mean, they do have co-op, right?
Yes.
We could get on that, Stuart.
Okay, yeah. I played MUA 2, which is the Civil War. And this is before, you know, I'm actually now reading the Civil War.
Isn't it also the Secret Wars, though?
No.
Too? Really?
No,
I saw a, what was it? Some review of it. I think it was GameSpot. They were saying it was the Civil War and Secret Wars.
Well, they start out, there was a short series, that was Secret War, and that's how, you know, that was something that led up to the Civil War. Since you played it, that opening level when you go to Latveria,
uh-huh.
That is the...
Oh, that is Secret War?
Yes, and then okay. when they had a huge destruction, that's when they're like, whoa, 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 you know, the Illuminati said, you know, hey, maybe we should try to do something to, you know, stop, you know, it started the ball rolling as far as registration.
Okay. See, because I played the game first, and now I'm starting to read the Civil War. And actually, as I'm reading the Civil War and looking back at the game, I'm liking the game more and more because it's following along with what the Civil War, basically scene for scene, the Civil War.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
awesome. Oh, yeah, it does, kind of. And then it comes off the rails. You'll see that.
Okay, midway through it.
Yeah, for me, yeah. I'm waiting to read the Civil War for PAX. That's going to be my plane ride, you know. I'm going to get it, and I'm going to read it while I'm on the plane.
Okay. Yeah. Didn't you say you got an app on your iPod?
Yeah. It's like Comic X or whatever.
Okay, because I also found one, and I was wondering if that was it.
Yeah, you can. They have, like, each series for, like, $1.99, but I'm just going to buy the, you know, hardback, you know, the book, you know, that has all of them in it, just because I want a book. I don't want to read it on my iPod Touch.
Well, I do too, but the nearest comic store for me is about 45 minutes away.
You know, I live right down the street from a Hastings, which is a book, movie, video store, so.
Yeah, I recently found out this week that, you know, our comic book store here was closed. The thing is, if you walk up to it, there's still stuff inside. There's still books. There's still trading cards. There's still action figures. They're all still inside.
How long have they been closed?
A while, apparently.
Huh.
Wow. I would find out, you know, I would try to contact whoever, you know, and be like, can I take some of this stuff if it's just sitting here?
Yeah, one guy, I was talking to one guy on Twitter. He's like, yeah, we should just break in, just bum rush the place.
It's like, I'll give you $10 for, you know, all of it. I mean, that's more than you're getting for it just sitting there.
And no kidding.
Yeah, if you can, I know, if you can look at like a Borders or Barnes & Noble, they'll have like they'll have some of the trade paperbacks where, you know, you could get the Civil War collection or, you know, now the Secret Invasion or Dark Reign collection. But yeah, I guess I don't mind collecting individually, but trade paperbacks are a really great way to, you know, jump into a series.
And especially easier to get. I mean, then
yes, yeah,
a lot easier than getting the individual. You know, that's the thing. If I could easily, I'd get individual comics.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's a lot more. It's probably going to be a lot more, you know, price-wise and harder to find. But
right.
But, yeah, I'm looking forward to reading that. I mean, I know the main premises of it, of course, but I don't know. I've just been holding off for, you know, something for PAX because I just wanted to have something to do for waiting, you know, 3.5-hour plane flight.
Yeah, there's no better way to do it, so.
Okay, so I guess anything else about the X-Men we want to talk about? Final thoughts?
No, other than, you know, when you look into X-Men comics, you don't know what you're getting into because there's the X-Force, X-Men, something else. There's so many X-Men comics.
Yeah, I mean, that is true.
Because, you know, during this Civil War, you know, I'm reading, you know, there's a couple of X-Men comics. I've looked at them. I don't even know who the characters are.
Yeah, I mean, that's my biggest, you know, that's going to hurt me the most is I took a break for comics because, you know, high school basically kicked in. I didn't have time to read comics. I was heavily involved with lots of stuff. So, I mean, now coming back, you know, years and years later, there's so much to choose from. It's a bit overwhelming, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It can be.
But I have a few stuff in mind. I mean, if y'all listen to Scarfinger's latest podcast, he recommends a few. And, I mean, he recommends a couple that Josh Whedon does, actually, that he says pretty good. I think he said one was Frey. It was called Frey, and it seemed interesting. I mean, he explains it a lot. Well, he explains it really well. But, and he also talks about, you know, they continue on the Angel series and the Buffy series in comic form. I know that's not, you know, Marvel or, you know, type comics, but I'm going to grab those and also try to get back into Spider-Man.
Oh, that's a tough one to get into.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, those are coming out really just about every week, it seems like. You know, they'll take a week off here or there, but it's pretty much maybe, you know, two or three times a month they'll have a new one release.
Yeah, Spider-Man was just my favorite though, so I'm gonna try.
Yeah, well,
I think I would start with his, you know, his version of basically the Civil War, the paperback.
I was gonna say, you know, his, you know, I like his, you know, I'm reading a couple of the others, you know, Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, and the Avengers, as well, along with the Civil War. But I really like the Spider-Man. You know, I like the art style of it and the story. You know, the writing is really good for Spider-Man.
Alrighty. Well, I guess we can go to our next topic, which would be the Stan Lee interview we saw on Netflix. Now, I don't think you've seen this. Have you,
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, what it is, it's on Netflix Instant Watch. It's Stan Lee's Monsters, Mutants, and Marvels, or something like that. And basically, it's, you know, Kevin Smith interviewing Stan Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, I would recommend it to any comic fan. Marvel fan. Kevin Smith, I mean, he knows what he's big into comics. I mean, he actually...
He writes. Yeah, well, he writes a comic called The Green Hornet or something like that. Yeah, that's his creation.
Yeah, and he also wrote some Daredevil, you know, some of the Daredevil stuff. I'm not exactly sure which Daredevil stuff, but I mean, he's worked for Marvel, and I mean, I think he's worked for DC too. So he's well informed. He's a interviewer, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what did you think about it, you know, Stuart?
I've seen a bunch of Stan Lee interviews before, and, you know, he just, you know, repeated, you know, a lot of stuff I already heard, you know, the whole, you know, how Spider-Man started. I thought that was very cool. How the president or CEO Marvel then. What was it?
Suspense Tales?
No. Anyway, the company before it became Marvel.
Oh, you know, okay.
Like he didn't, like, you know, Stan Lee came up with Spider-Man, and the guys just said, no, that's stupid, take it away. So the last issue of another comic, Incredible Stories or something like that, like they just made, you know, the last issue a Spider-Man, and it sold a lot. So the guy said, hey, you know that Spider-Man comic that we both liked? Yeah, we should make that.
I think it says Timely Publications or on IMDb. Maybe that's not it. It doesn't sound right, but yeah, I know what you mean. It was interesting because it was, you know, Marvel Comics was the, you know, wasn't that the, you know, series? Yeah. And, you know, Timely Comics. Was that the name of the company?
I don't know. I'm looking it up. Keep talking.
But, yeah, I thought that was interesting, too, how, you know, they were doing, you know, a series where they just, you know, had one comic, one, you know, hero, and then they would go on to the next, and they were doing their last one, and you just threw Spider-Man in, and, you know, it turned out to be huge. I mean, I just thought that was very interesting. I didn't know that personally.
Atlas Comics.
Atlas. And I thought it was very interesting how he talked about, you know, he had trouble remembering names. So he would make names where the first, you know, and the last name would, you know, sound, you know, like Peter Parker and, you know.
Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner, you know.
Yeah,
and he talked about how when he did, you know, Tony Stark, that was one of the first, you know, that he doesn't even know how that happened. It just, you know, that he I think he said that was kind of an accident or, you know, because that was one of the first where, you know, it didn't start with the same letter as the first, you know, the first and last name didn't start with the same letter, which I thought was pretty interesting, you know. You think, you know, writing, you know, issues of comics, you know, over and over again. But then again, they were monthly back then, so.
Right.
Not like now, like you mentioned Spider-Man's, like, weekly. Like, one of the Spider-Man series is weekly, not to mention the other spin-offs they have. But, yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. And, I mean, Oh, what was his first comic he wrote? Wasn't it the Fantastic Four?
Yeah, that was his first creation.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that. I didn't know the Fantastic Four was the first one.
Yeah, I knew that.
Which, I mean, it's funny because that's probably one of the least, you know, popular ones.
Well, you know, I'd heard this before, but, you know, he's not, you know, Stan Lee's not very, you know, big into science, but part of what I like about Marvel is it's so believable. But the thing, Stan Lee just said, you know, he comes up with the stuff off the top of his head, stuff that sounds good, stuff that sounds believable, like with the Incredible Hulk, you know, gamma rays. He said he doesn't even know what a gamma ray is. He just said it sounded cool.
Yeah, and I think he was so proud of, you know, creating, what was it, Latveria?
Yeah.
Because it sounded so real, he said.
Yeah.
It sounded like a real country.
Yeah.
Which, thinking about it, it kind of does.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a very interesting, I mean, it's like two episodes. The second one's really kind of short, but, I mean, it's on instant watch, and I just recommend anyone, you know, interested in comics to just check it out. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Alrighty, now we're getting, I guess, now we can get to what I'm calling the great comic debate, which should or shouldn't be a comic book. Now, this idea started because I posted a picture that I found a while ago of a comic of Michelle Obama, the first lady, that I just found in my comic store. And I was like, you know, I gotta take a picture of this because no one's going to believe me. No one's going to believe there's a Michelle Obama comic book. I mean, because it sounds ridiculous, you know? I mean, and I just I just posted it up on Twitter and said, is this an embarrassment to comics? And boy, I didn't expect that to happen. I think Scarfinger and you, Matt, and Scarfinger, you know, just basically debated over it for, like, I don't know, all day.
Yeah, you posted towards the end of the day, and, you know, I can say this much. I probably have seen it in my comic store, and I probably walked right past it and just brushed it off. But if, you know, like what you said, since you said, well, what do you think of this? If you ask me what I think of it, I'll tell you what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
personally, I really don't think that should be a comic book. You know, as I've kind of thought about it over, you know, the past few days, I think comics should be, to me, comics are a form of escapism. I read them to not have to, you know, I don't read it as like an alternate to, you know, news or anything, or like the newspaper.
Exactly.
But,
they're fantasy.
Yeah. It's a type of escapism. Just like video games or, you know, television, movies, you know, anything like that. And,
God, Michelle Obama, the video game.
Yeah. You know, politics aside, it's just like, you know, if you want to tell, comics are kind of like stories that aren't going to be written in books that are purely script form. It's a blend of writing as well. It's a unique storytelling art that requires art, it requires illustrations, and it does require enough chemistry between the artists and the writers to make it all work and blend together. Whereas a book is just strictly words, and you can, you know, a good writer will have you interpret the images, you know, internally as such.
Stuart, your thoughts?
Well, for me, you know, when I think comics, I think superheroes. And I saw that cover, and I did not immediately come to superhero Michelle Obama. So, I mean, back to this Stan Lee interview, you know, Atlas Comics did, you know, Wild West comics, you know, romance comics, you know, that kind of stuff. Again, escapism stuff. But,
right.
Yeah, that was just really no. That shouldn't, no.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I mean, it's not too much of a debate because Mark's not here. I think Mark would do it. But he said he'll, on the next show, he'll, you know, basically, you know, argue his point of it. So I guess look out for episode 5, you know.
Yeah.
Because episode 4 is all Doctor Who. Or episode 4A and 4B are all Doctor Who. But, yeah, I mean, when you go into, you know, like that, I mean, wouldn't that be considered like a biography or, you know, nonfiction? Right. I mean,
well, I mean, did you open it up and look at it? Like, did you read a couple pages of it?
I mean, yeah, it basically, you know, was, you know, just, oh, it showed, you know, him, you know, him at, you know, her with him at, you know, the rallies, you know, for presidency and stuff like that. I mean, so, I mean, it seemed like, it, you know, it was telling the, you know, true story. That just seems like, a, you know, biography to me. And
comics are not a replacement for biographies.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to read, you know, someone's struggle and story and life story, read a biography or autobiography, or, you know, and if they want to have pictures in it, put it in a children's book, you know.
Exactly. Keep it out of my comic book
store. Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to, really, don't consider this, you know, demeaning, you know, someone's message, but, you know, you're not seeing, that's just kind of where those, I guess, genres and that those kind of stories get told. They get told through either children's books or through, you know, biographies or autobiographies.
Now, and a comic book store is not the place you would sell that.
Really, I was surprised that my comic book store had that. I mean, a dedicated comic book store would actually carry something like that. I mean, if I had a comic book store, I wouldn't carry something like that. I mean,
a comic book store goer, that's not the type of demographic that would appeal to.
Exactly. I mean, I could
or
see it next
really
to...
Or really a comic book reader.
Exactly. I mean, like, I could see it next to, you know, like, the tabloids in the, you know, in the checkout aisle, you know.
Yeah, I could
Archie,
see it there.
Next to the Archie comics and stuff like that. I mean, I could definitely see it somewhere like that, you know, or, you know, maybe a bookstore that, you know, just not too into comics, just focusing, you know, on...
Yeah, like a Borders or something like that.
Yeah. But a dedicated comic book store, I'm surprised it was in there. I almost talked, I mean, I didn't want to say anything to the lady, because the lady who actually owns the store, you know, she's pretty hot, so. which is pretty amazing in itself, so I wasn't going to, you know, say anything to her.
Well, who knows? That might strike up an actual conversation. She might agree with you, and, you know, she just had to do it because that's what, you know, she was told to do.
Yeah. I come to think of it, I would have loved to ask her, so how many of these have you actually sold? It's like, you know, I may take a copy to line, you know, line my hamster cage with or something. I mean... I don't have a hamster, but I just thought that would be funny to say. But, yeah.
I mean, like, I can understand that there's a, you know, there's a time and there's a place for political posturing and you know, sending out propaganda or whatever, what have you, you know, as far as, you know, trying to get your message out there. I mean, I know that, you know, Marvel created Captain America for World War II and that, you know, he was purely a propagandic tool, but there's something behind him that makes him last more than it's not just propaganda. I mean, look, if you look at him now, he's not some political machine saying, you know, go join the army, you know, join these good men or whatever. He stands for something more.
And he wasn't a real person either.
Right. Well, I guess as far as politics go, you know, I'd rather leave real world issues and entertainment, you know, the entertainment media is, you know, separate and never shall the two meet. But if I want to interact with politics and kind of get in, you know, and make that choice, I'd rather, you know, I'll watch CNN, I'll watch Fox, I'll watch MSNBC, I'll read a newspaper, or I'll read a bumper sticker. And honestly, that's as far as I want it coming into my world without, you know, I know that there were some, you know, some ads around the 08 campaign that would come in. I think Mercenaries 2 had some downloadable content packs, but honestly, I can ignore that. For the most part, I will ignore that type of stuff, you know, but if someone's going to say like what you did, you post a question to me, I'll say, well, I know you posted it just to anybody, but
yeah.
I just wanted to get my opinion out there because you asked.
I'm glad you did, because
it made
a nice segment on the show.
True. So, you know, it political leanings aside, it's all, I'd rather, if I see it, I can ignore it. You know, I don't have to acknowledge it. I don't have to buy it, you know, but if someone's going to bring it up, that's fine. I'll throw my two cents into the ring.
Yeah, I mean, just for me, it's why make it a comic book? I mean, you really think that, I mean, people like us who read comics are going to pick that up. I mean, yeah. It's more likely, like I said, I mean, if you really wanted to get across, you know, someone, put it in the checkout aisle next to the tabloids of, you know, Michael Jackson's evil clone returns from the dead. I could see, you know, housewives just eating that up. If they did something like that, you know.
Oh yeah. I mean, like you said, that a comic book store really isn't your target audience. I mean, I can, on Wednesdays when new comics come out, you know, granted it's a little later in the day when I get there, but you know, I'm looking at men around my age or older than me. And I don't think they're rushing out and buying that either. I mean, I just don't think that that's their market.
And like, if they are, they're not going to buy it in a comic book store where people can see.
Right.
That's right, yeah.
But, yeah, I guess we can hit my quick little questions. What do you think, what's your definition of a comic book? Matt, you want to go?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, like I said, it's something to escape from the, you know, the day's struggles, you know, and kind of have that kind of superhero, have that kind of person or that image that you kind of, and read their story on a continuing basis that kind of, that resonates with you. It has charactership. For me, it's all about characteristics that I, you know, that I either have or that I don't have and I wish I could improve or not, you know, and I'm interested in reading that kind of story. Like I said, it's, to me, a comic book is a story that is, it's not going to be able to translate into any other form of, you know, of reading entertainment. I know I'm not going to see, Captain America or Batman in like a novel form. To me, that's not going to be as interesting because the artwork is part of what makes up it, what makes it up.
Yeah, I mean, I understand you can't relate to a middle-aged African-American lady married to the president. what about you, Stuart?
The way I look at comics is a comic is a good balance between, like, a book and a movie. You just put them together and you got a comic book because, you know, the art style is, you know, good cinematography in, you know, still captures. And then, you know, the writings of a novel is the text. And something that would make both a good movie and a good, I wouldn't say story, like novel really, but, you know, a good movie would make a good comic book. And I don't think a Michelle Obama biography would make a good movie or comic book.
Exactly. I mean, for me, I just, you know, a comic book is something to escape reality, like Matt said. Yeah, and it's supposed to, and something fantasy, you know, something you can imagine, you know. You see the art, and the art is a big part of it. I mean, with something like Michelle Obama, I mean, for a comic book, the art's really, I mean, I don't see the point in having art, you know, artwork in there, you know. Having, you know, graphics for something like that. I mean, I just don't see why, to be honest. I mean, because, I mean, is that really, you know, the focus of it? I mean, I would think the focus of the comic book would be to get, or of that would be to get, you know, the Michelle Obama story across, or, you know, what she's doing and what she's done. So that, I think that would be just better suited for a biography, in my opinion.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, I think that they could have done that. They created a picture, you know, and have had, you know, photographer, you know, pages of photographers' pictures with some captions, you know, and that would have done the same thing. And they could have, you know, they could have bounded hardcover and sold it for $19.95 if they really wanted to.
Oh yeah, and I actually have seen books like that, there are books like that. So I don't know why they went to comic book form to do this.
Yeah, it just would have been one of the New York Times bestsellers probably.
Yeah.
Ironically, but I mean, as a comic book, you're not going to get that across to anyone really. I mean,
right.
Like you said, the wrong target.
Right. And you know, the comic book genre is so fringe anyway. You know, people barely take it seriously as it is. So, you know, it's almost kind of like, to me, then that's just, you know, it's a simple pandering to a very niche market.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing video games being taken more seriously and, you know, becoming more mainstream, but comics still, you know, are something, considered, you know, nerdy, geeky, kiddish, you know. It really hasn't, you know, become mainstream, you know, as well as, like, you know, video games. It's such a shame because, we just like a good fantasy story, you know, with artwork. We just appreciate artwork. And we're associated as, you know, kind of being losers to, you know, people who aren't into comics for it. But, whatever. That's the way life is, I guess. I guess we kind of touched on it a little, but I mean, what criteria should a comic book have? Like, what should it and what should not have? Basically, I think it should be, you know, it should be fantasy. It shouldn't be true. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. we've said it before. That gets, you know, towards the biography, and we don't want to read, you know. We don't want to go to the comic store and read something that's actually true because real life is more boring than fantasy.
Or more depressing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, what do you think, Stuart?
We've really said it all. You know, comic books should only be fantasy. You know, comic books should only be nonfiction. Or fiction, I mean.
Yeah.
Not nonfiction, that's what I meant to say.
Yeah. I mean, do you think comic books should just be about, you know, superheroes or?
That's the kind of comic books I like, but you know, good, you know, like a, you know, D&D comic book, you know, there are those out there, you know, those are good for people. You know, not really me, but,
Yeah. Well, I remember growing up, I would read, you know, they weren't like, you know, Superman or Spider-Man superheroes, but I would read like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comics. Or even Sonic the Hedgehog comics.
Yeah.
I don't think they have to necessarily be, you know, like they have superpowers and, you know, they fight villains all the time. I don't think that necessarily has to be like that, but it's gotta be fantasy, you know, it's gotta be something, you know, to escape reality.
Right.
And we also touched on, you know, what a comic book shouldn't be. I mean,
mm-hmm.
So I guess we're done with that. I mean, I'm looking forward to hearing Mark's reply.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah.
I mean, he listening to this, he's probably going to be cursing, you know, listening to, you know, hopefully, you know, he doesn't listen to this at work. But yeah, does anyone have any more thoughts on, I mean, anything else they want to add about this?
Mm-mm.
Alrighty. Well, I guess, you know, we've ran for a good amount of time, so I guess we can go to, you know, well, I guess I should say the email and Twitter. If you have any questions, I mean, or you want to give us your input, I mean, send us an email at thegeeksftw@gmail.com. I mean, I know I would love to hear some of your opinions on like what a comic book should or shouldn't be, or, you know, if you agree with us, if you disagree with us, why? Because, I mean, I'd love to, you know, see the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm kind of upset Mark couldn't be with us today, but we'll hear his thoughts on, you know, what next time we record. But, you know, also, you know, if you have show topics you think we should discuss, let us know, or just tell us, you know, what your favorite X-Men villain is, or, you know, character, or just, I mean, whatever. I mean, just, you know, give us or and tell us how we are. Just give us feedback. I mean, we're a new podcast. We're growing. We're trying to improve. So
yeah, what do you want us to talk about? You know, give us some topics that you guys want to hear about, not just, you know, that we want to talk about, but you want to hear about.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're listening to this, chances are you're interested in the same thing as we are.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you could want us to talk about, let's say, you know, I don't know, Superman, but we just haven't gotten around to it. I mean, I don't have any objections against, you know, say that or like Ninja Turtles even. Just let us know what you'd like us to talk about. And you can also reach us at Twitter with, you know, twitter.com/, you know, GeeksFTW podcast. And you can, you know, you can, from there you can get my Twitter profile, you know, Stewart's, Mark, I think Patriots is connected to there somehow.
Yeah, I think the Open Forum Radio crew is also connected.
Yeah, so, I mean, just, you know, you can follow us. And like I said this in our, well, you can just, you know, follow the Geeks for the FTW podcast, and we'll ask questions. Like, you know, for the X-Men episode, this episode, we asked, you know, what was your favorite villain? And we had a few people, you know, respond. So, and when we did share it, when we mentioned, you know, Forgetful and Scarfingers, what they commented, you know, so just let us know. And we're just going to be posting random, you know, polls. Like, you know, I think Mark put who could win between, who was it, Stuart?
I don't remember.
Superman and Thor or something like that? I don't know.
It was something along those lines.
Yeah, but we're just going to be posting random stuff just, you know, just to get you thinking and just to basically have fun. But with that said, I guess we can go final thoughts and shout-outs. Matt, you want to go since you're our guest?
Oh, well, to you guys, thanks a lot for having me on. Sorry Mark wasn't on here as well. You know, I enjoyed doing it before. I'm glad. Thank you guys for having me back again.
Oh, anytime. We enjoy having you.
Well, thank you.
You bring a lot to the table.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to, you know, putting a face to the voice at PAX East coming up here. And I'd also like to give special shout-outs to everyone at Open Forum Radio. Let's see, that's our super co-host, Blue Man Rule, super editor, Vlad Hammer, you know, and the host of 40cast, Vic Joe, USMC86, and also good friend and fellow co-host, Tin Pan Alley. You know, we're having fun, and we're glad you guys could come aboard with the Open Forum Radio Network, and we appreciate all the work that you do.
Oh, just glad you'll have us.
Yeah. I mean, our pleasure.
We did your podcast basically was the inspiration for ours. You know, just basically the open part, just, you know, talking about whatever we want. You know, not just stick into one, you know, specific thing. Even though we've kind of, in the last, you know, we kind of come back to comics a lot, but we have gone to, like, you know, Dexter or Doctor Who. So we're
right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're very welcome, sir. Stuart, you want to go next?
Just, you know, shout out to, you know, again, once again, you know, everyone at the Open Forum Radio Network, you know, not just the Open Forum crew, but just, you know, everyone else. Zabari, and
thank you for adding that. I forgot him, but thank you.
Alrighty, and I guess I'll go. I want to thank you for coming on, Patriot, or Matt. I mean, just like I said, we enjoy having you because you really do bring conversation, you know, and I know I enjoy listening to your opinions on the matter, you know.
Oh, well, thank you. And again, thanks for having me on.
And I want to thank, you know, the Open Forum Radio Network, of course, everyone there. I especially want to thank Tin Pan because he's, you know, he can't make it to PAX East, and he's giving me his Saturday ticket. I mean, he's refusing me pay him, but somehow I'm going to repay him. I'm going to find a way to somehow, whether I have to, you know, provide the next, you know, prize for the Open Forum, you know, radio contest or something, I'm going to repay him. And I also want to give a shout out to Scarfinger. I was on his podcast. really didn't know him, you know, really never really talked to him much, but we had a good, you know, 2-hour conversation. Not quite as long as yours, Matt, but.
I don't know. Do I still hold the record?
Yeah. Mine was only split up into 2 parts, not 3, but.
Yeah, that was quite the afternoon.
Yeah, which I have those queued up to listen to. But, yeah, just give those a listen. I mean, I really like his show. I mean, he kind of takes, you know, interviewing a person to the next step. I mean.
Oh, you're absolutely right. He does.
I mean, and I just haven't heard anything like his. I mean, I've heard podcasts where they've interviewed a person, but they've never, you know, really asked them their top movies or TV shows or, you know, music, stuff like that. I mean, you really get to know what type of person they are. So just give them a listen. Sarcasm. With that, this has been episode 3 of Geeks for the Win. And once again, I'm joined by Matt.
Thanks again for having me, everyone.
My fellow co-host, Stuart.
It's been fun.
And Mark in spirit. And I am William. I guess we'll see you next week with our Doctor Who episode. Enjoy.